What a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day.
Amen.
To be able to come and to worship God in spirit and in truth. Over the last couple of weeks, we have been looking at a sermon entitled, or in reference to God. We looked at I Am That I Am. The magnificence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Looked at the power of God, understanding that all three hold power. Then we went and looked at, on last week, God the Father. Knowing that all that is and all that will be, or shall I say all that has been, all that is and all that will be, is because of Him.
Amen.
And on today, we are going to be looking at God the Son. Understanding again that all that has been, all that is, and all that will be is because of Him. Well, how can I stand before you and tell you that all because of God the Father, all that is, and the same in reference to the Son? Well, I want you to know that they operate together. They operate together. We have looked and examined that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth from Genesis 1:1. We looked at and examined from the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, that beginning was the beginning of what we call the universe, the creation, knowing that even before this was ever in existence, that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit were already existing. They existed then, before, and they would exist after. Eternal, all three. So let us know as we look at the Bible on this morning, because that's exactly what we need in order to get an understanding from what is there, that His Word is true. So again, when we talk about God the Son was in obedience to what God the Father wanted Him to do. I mentioned that, and I will continue to mention, that we are here because of the three. We're here because of what they have done and what they're doing and what they will do. I have to refer back to the past, the present, and the future, because that is what we have to rely on. That is what we learn from the past and what we're going through now, and we think about, and our hope is what we can have in the future because of the three. God the Father, as we know that the sins of the world came up before Him. The sins of mankind came up before Him. And this plan was already in existence for how He was going to save His people. How He was going to save His people. And His people, again, when we talk about that, His people and the His is here is not only in reference to God the Father, but also God the Son. Remember Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. where the Bible states as the angel was talking to Joseph and telling him that she shall give birth to a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. It's important that we realize that. That his people were not only the children of Israel, but his people are you and I, the Gentiles as well. But we know that again as we look in John chapter 1, talking again from verse 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, that same God that we're looking at here and talking about came down here and dwelt among men. He became flesh and dwelt among men. You find there in verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. You notice there in verse 1 that the word Word is capitalized. Do you notice there that the word God is capitalized? And when you go down to verse 14, the word there is capitalized. It's a proper noun. A proper noun. Jesus is the Word. And as Jesus being the Word, we have to again understand that he is God. Amen. The three again operates together. They are in one accord. And everything that has been done, everything that is being done, and everything that will be done, again, is according to the Word. And we have to believe it. We have to trust in it. We have to put faith in it. Live by it. Going to Colossians chapter 2 again. Going back to Colossians chapter 2, looking at the scripture reference that was read there. Again, understanding that when we talk about one, we talk about the other. Because they're in this together. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And we start here and we look at verse 6. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to the human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. Now, how can anybody look in scripture and say that Jesus is not God? How can they? It says again, you know, we look at this word deity here. This word deals with spiritual. It deals with something or somebody, shall I say, that is heavenly. The deity of Christ, the Bible says again, points to him as being God. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Well, who does he have? How is that possible? Remember last week we talked about God dwelling in Jesus? Not only does God dwell in Jesus, but also the Spirit dwells within him. And we look again, it said the fullness, whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. So when he came down here upon this earth, he was still God. He was still God. Nothing was taken away from him. The only thing that was that he had to leave his heavenly home. and come down here and walk among men. Men that were going to, and they did, crucify him. Men that denied who he was. See, we cannot deny who Jesus Christ is. We have to accept it. Let's read just a little bit further here in verse 11. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. Remember, as we look at this and think about it and talk about God being the Father and God being the Son and God being the Spirit, see, always in existence, when Jesus gave his life on the cross of Calvary, the Father did not allow him to remain dead. There was still work, and there is still work for him to do. I'm not talking about God the Father, I'm talking about God the Son. And that work is going to be accomplished. Just as he said when he was on the cross, it is finished. He's going to say that again. And when it's finished, the next time when it is stated, that means that this world no longer exists. The heavens no longer exist. So we have to accept who Jesus Christ is and continue to realize again that he is the same yesterday, as the scriptures teach us there in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, today, and will be forever. Jesus. Now who else is like that? God. Never change. He's not going to change for you. He's not going to change for me. When the children of Israel were acting up, he didn't change for them. When we act up, he is not going to change for us. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, and the verse is 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. No change. No change. See, God has always demanded justice. He's always demanded obedience. And it's going to always be that way. All we need to do is accept what he has in store for us, looking in his word and abiding in his word. So do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that he is in the likeness of God? Now, I want you to understand something when we talk about this, about Jesus being God and Jesus making statements throughout Scripture and in reference to, if you're seeing me, you're seeing the Father. Now, I want you to think about your life just for a moment. I want you to think about how many times somebody has told you, you are just like this person or you're just like that person. You don't look nothing like them in physical form. But in your mannerisms, your behavior, even in your speech, you sound like them. And that's what we need to understand when Jesus tells the people, if you're seeing me, you're seeing the Father. Because everything that he did was according to the Father's will. Just like God himself walking on this earth, doing what Jesus did. Now, what does the Bible say again? He came down in bodily form. Who he? God did. Jesus the Christ. Living according to the manner that God wanted him to live and doing those things. Now, how long has Jesus existed? How long has Jesus existed? We find again here that the scriptures teach us that he's the same yesterday, today, and will be forever. So, but how long has he existed? In the book of John chapter 8. John chapter 8. See, a lot of people only see Jesus as he came to be born of that Virgin Mary. That's when a lot of people are introduced to Jesus. But Jesus was introduced long before Mary gave birth to him. The Bible tells us, even Jesus talked about himself. And, you know, who better to tell about you than you? So here's what Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 48. The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you are a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God." Now listen to these next few verses here. "But you have not known him, I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day." Well, let me say that again. "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. I saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, You're not yet 50 years old. And have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was ever thought of, I am." You know, we have to think about that just for a moment. How can this man, and this is the question, how can you, you're not even 50 years old, say that you have seen Abraham, who created all things? God did. Who was there in the beginning? God was. And as we look at this and we examine it, we have to say there's something about this person. There's something about this man that says, before Abraham was, I am. He's seen all. He's seen all. And he continues to look down upon man. And what we have to do is we have to accept again who he is. He said, "If I tell you I haven't seen," he said, "I'm a liar like you." But we know that Jesus cannot lie. Why? Because he's God. He's God. But man is lying every day. Man is saying that Jesus cannot be God. That Jesus is not our Savior. Jesus is not the one that God sent in order to save mankind from their sins. Well, I ask you, who is he then? Who is he? For a person that says those things, do not believe in the whole counsel of God. And why did I say the whole council? Because they'll go and look at the Old Testament and they'll say, you know, we're still living according to the old. The Orthodox Jew is still waiting on Jesus to come. they're going to be in for a surprise when he comes. They are going to be shocked when he comes. Because when he comes, it's not going to be the first time, it's going to be the second time. And he's coming in order to receive unto himself a perfect church. And for those that have not believed in him as coming down here upon this earth, dying on the cruel cross of Calvary, being buried and raised to ascend into heaven to sit up on the right hand of the Father, they are going to be cast out into the lake which burns with fire. So let's accept God's word as being true. In the book of Acts, chapter 7, we find that we know that we pray to God. We know that we pray to God. But here we find that the scriptures teach, as Stephen was being stoned. And as he was being stoned, the Bible says in verse 54, "Now when they heard these things, they were enraged. And they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of the young man named Saul. As they were stoning Stephen, he cried out, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.'" Who did he pray to? Who was he talking to? The Lord Jesus. See, there are many times where people do not want to refer to him as being Lord. But he is. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's the one that God sent here in order to save us. And he's the one that Stephen is gazing up into heaven, not sitting, the Bible says, but standing at the right hand of God. So you see, both of them exist. Both of them exist. God the Father and God the Son. And Stephen again says, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He is again our Savior. The Bible teaches us from the book of Romans chapter 10. He is our Savior. Who saves? God the Father saves. Who saves? God the Son saves. Who saves? God the Spirit saves. See, we have to understand again, without the three, we cannot be saved. Amen. We cannot be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Verse 12, "For there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Everyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now think about it just for a moment. When you were little, and even those that have, you know, parents that have taught their children when they are frightened, what did we tell them? Who to call on? We told them to call on Jesus. Just say Jesus. You know, we tell them that without really understanding the power that Jesus has. Not really understanding that he can save them. And that's what the Bible says. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, we're teaching that as little children, and that when they grow older and they realize, really, truly realize who Jesus the Christ is, they will call upon his name by doing what is right in order to be saved. You have to own up to who he is. You have to be willing to confess who he is. You have to be willing to be obedient to what he has said. Jesus. He's God. We can't take anything away from him.
That's right.
We have to give honor where honor is due, to who honor is due. And we can truly say that as we think about what he has done in creation, what he has done by creating mankind, by giving his life on the cruel cross of Calvary, that we need to continue to teach people that he is God. That he is God. He operates alongside of the Father. He operates alongside the Spirit. The three again operates together. They are in unison. They are in step. They're not fussing and fighting amongst one another. They are in agreement. But look here. The Father has done something that many people still do today. They relinquish authority over to someone else. And that's what the Father has done here that we find in Matthew chapter 28. He gave power unto Jesus. But does that mean that God the Father is powerless? No. He is not powerless. He still holds all power. But the scriptures teach us here in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, or verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Some versions say to the end of the world. This is the last age. The Christian dispensation is the last age. Jesus says he will be with his disciples until the end. Do we believe that today? That Jesus will be with us till the end? That he will be with his people until the end? He'll never leave them. He will never forsake them. Here's what we need to realize, and here's what we need to understand. That if we do not do what is right, he will still be true to himself. He will still be true to the Father. We need to understand that if we do not do what is right, in the end, he will say, I never knew them. Never knew them. But there are many people today that are saying that they know who God is. They know who Jesus is. But they are not doing what is right. They're not doing what is right. So we need to know, again, that God the Son is living today.
Amen.
He is doing what the Father wants him to do. He's waiting. He's waiting on that command, on that directive to go and get my people. He's waiting on that. Now, who can gather all nations together? God can. That's Jesus. He has done that by the life in which he lived. He has done that by the death in which he died. He has done that by the life in which he was resurrected to live. And he is going to do that when the Father tells him to go back in the clouds and receive unto yourself a perfect church. Now, I want you to know that God's word will never change.
Amen.
His Son will never change. He will never change. His word will never change. Are you willing to get your life in order according to the word? Hearing the word, we hear this all the time. It is not going to change. Hearing the word about God produces faith. Romans chapter 10 and the verse is 17. Knowing again, going back to the beginning, when the statement was made, let us make man in our own image. That formulates belief, faith. Jesus said, except ye believe that I am he, you should die in your sins, in John chapter 8, verse 24. Who he? What did he tell them when we go and read in John chapter 8, verse 57, 58 again? Before Abraham was, I am. Who did God say to Moses, who do I say, sent me? I am. That's Jesus again. I am. We have to believe that. We have to be willing to confess that he is the Son of God. He is the reason that all things were created. And he is the one that created all things. We have to believe that. Then we have to be willing to make that confession before others. And there's a lot of people that are ashamed of who they are. They are ashamed of who they are, not necessarily as being a Christian, but they are ashamed of who they are because of their family. They don't want to be associated with their family because their family, a lot of people say, they are a dysfunctional family. I don't want to be associated with them. But they're your family. They are your family. Jesus, when we look at and we talk about being a part of the family of God, no matter how everyone else is acting, we still need to say that I believe that he is the Son of God. And we have to be willing to confess that before man, letting them know because of what you have studied in the Word and what you have become to believe in, that Jesus is the Christ, as Peter said, the Son of the living God. We have to believe that. But you know what else we have to be willing to do? We have to be willing to have a change of mind. We have to be willing to change our ways. We have to be willing to change the way we dress. We have to be willing to change the way we talk. Our communication, our actions. We have to be willing to change them. And that's what the Scriptures teach. In Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and verse 5. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So we have to be willing to change. And then we have to, or shall I say, you have to, be willing to be baptized. Baptism is what saves. I mentioned earlier that God saves, Jesus saves, the Spirit saves. You know what else saves? Baptism saves. 1 Peter chapter 3 and the verse is 21. 1 Peter 3, 21. The like figure, what like figure? The water that saved Noah and his family. The like figure whereunto baptism doth now also save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of the of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we talk about things that save, and a lot of times the only thing that you hear that saves is faith. Faith alone does not save. But you know what? We have a part to play in our salvation. As it was told to them in the book of Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, when Peter was preaching that message, he said to them, after he was interrupted, and they asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? In Acts chapter 2 and the verses 37, he told them to repent and to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, for all that are far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. But look what it says in verse 40. Because we as individuals have a part to play in our salvation. We can't just sit down and do nothing. We can't just hear the word and say, oh, that was a good word, and think that everything is going to be okay. No, what he tells them is this. And when, with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. You know, that's a Facebook post. I just want you to know that right now. That's a Facebook post. And when I get home this evening, I'm going to post that. Because there are many people, and us, we all are living in a crooked generation. And what we need to do is we need to save ourselves. We need to separate ourselves away from them that are doing wrong. Here, this is initial salvation, though, that we are pointing to right here for the Jews. Initial salvation. Save yourselves from this crooked generation, from the people, from the very ones that crucified Jesus. You were with them, but you can save yourselves. Because you asked the question, what shall we do? Save yourselves. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So do you see the importance of baptism? Do you see the importance of doing what you're supposed to do in order to be saved? Putting Christ on through baptism, according to Scripture, Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. It's important. Baptism is important. If it wasn't, it wouldn't be here in Scripture. It wouldn't be here, but it is here. So therefore, since it's here, we need to do what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to accept it. We're supposed to live by what God wants us to do. And then be faithful. Be faithful. Continue to live the way God wants you to live. Continue to study the Word. The Scriptures teach us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verse is 18. There's something that we have to do. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow. Grow. A lady has a baby and she takes that baby home and she places that baby in a crib and never gives that baby any nourishment. That baby is not going to grow. Baby is not going to grow. So as being members of the Lord's church, if we do not get the nourishment from his word, we will not grow. So we have to study it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study it, not to win an argument. Not to win an argument. We study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, a lot of people just, you know, they study, you know, just to see how much knowledge they can gain. But if you're not doing anything with it, Matthew chapter 28, if you're not sharing it with anybody else, what good is it going to do you? No good at all. No good at all. There is work that needs to be done, and we, as his children, need to do it. If you're here and you're not a child of God and you want to become one, that opportunity is yours to come and to make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. That opportunity is yours this morning. Don't put off because tomorrow is not yours. Maybe you're straight away. Maybe you need to come back to the fold. We ask that you confess your faults. If it's just something that you've done between you and God, get it right with him. If it's something that you need to go and correct with somebody else, go and get it right with them. Then come back to God and ask him to forgive you. And the Bible says he's just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. So there's nothing too great that you have done that God cannot forgive you for. You just have to ask, and you have to be sincere in your asking. If you're hearing your subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.